We get things rolling this afternoon by getting on the G&M Family Market phone line and welcoming back to the program our friend, actor, author, and storyteller, Stephen Tobolowsky. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Rich. Good talking to you.
Yes, and it must be a little bit different weather-wise where you are because you're outside and we're inside and still bundled up.
It's close. Beware, it's close to 90 degrees where I am right now in Los Angeles.
You're killing me. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's terrible.
Well, we wanted to have you back on to talk about the second season of One Day at a Time, which premiered over the weekend on Netflix. And as much as I loved season one, my goodness, season two is even better. It's just such a terrific show.
It's crazy. And you know, we had the big, the premiere. And it's odd when you have a premiere for a TV show. I remember for Deadwood, we had a premiere at the Chinese Theater where you go in with all the footprints and all that. And we did a premiere here at a very fancy Arclight Cinema out here in Los Angeles with the red carpet and all of the press. And they show two episodes of the program. And it was the first time I had seen the fully edited elements of One Day at a Time. And I was, like, unsuspecting to the audience. I was laughing. I was crying. I was, Rich, when you look back over a career, I've been in tons of shows. And a few of them have been really, really good. And a couple of them have been really terrible. Most of them have been okay. But there's nothing like One Day at a Time. And the way it works on me as an audience, I could be laughing at some crazy, stupid joke 1 second and then be in tears for legitimate reasons for another. I heard someone say that what TV sitcoms always kind of do is have these special episodes, like a very special Roseanne, or a bit. One Day at a Time, every episode is a very special episode. I've never been able to see writers be able to craft really hilarious comedy with really heartbreaking moments in the same show and almost in minute to minute. You never know what's going to happen. It's a phenomenal show.
Well, and it seems like every episode tackles multiple issues, but it feels so organic and just part of the lives of this wonderful extended family. It's not preachy at all, and it cuts to some really hard truths about not only the family, but America.
Yeah, well, you take the first episode, and the family, if you haven't seen One Day at a Time, is a Cuban-American family with Justina Mercado as the mother. Rita Moreno plays her mother, who's living in the house with him, and what a twosome that is. And then you have the two kids, very much like the original One Day at a Time. And the first episode kind of begins in a very funny way, but it ends up talking about racism, in a way, which you figure, okay, I know that's a hot-button issue now, and the fact with immigrants and all of that, it's a hot-button issue, but I don't know about you, but I grew up in Oak Cliff, you know, Dallas, Texas, and I'm Jewish. We had three Jewish families in Oak Cliff. There were more Nazis in Oak Cliff than there were Jews. And even though I'm watching this episode that has nothing to do with my life and seeing what happens to this little boy in the episode, it has everything to do with my life. And before I know it, I am with him. He is telling my story, even though he's not telling my story at all. And it's because what you say is the show isn't preachy. It's organic. It's just telling a good story. And each one of the episodes is funny and affecting. This isn't much of a spoiler. It's a teeny spoiler. But in one episode, Rita Moreno has taken over the entire garage by keeping all the things that she immigrated from Cuba with. Every piece of junk you could possibly imagine. And I'm sitting here watching the show, and I begin getting a little weepy because I'm looking at my shelf right beside me, and I have three rocks that I picked up off the street in Illinois when I was in graduate school. And I held those rocks in my hand, and I thought, these rocks feel magical to me. I may not run across magical rocks ever again. I'm going to keep them. Now, I'm 56 years old. We're talking, I've kept these rocks over 40 years. They're sitting on my shelf here. But every time I look at them, I still think, you know, I may not run across a magical rock again. I better keep them. And of course, my wife is like, Stephen, you know, maybe we could get rid of the rock. But we all have these items that are apparently worthless to everybody else, but mean the world to us. And again, one day at a time, told the story of my life, and I didn't expect it.
Yeah, that was something that I had picked up on, was the very special episode. They do what so many other shows can't quite do. They work that into sort of an everyday life feel, and it doesn't make it stand out. And that's what makes those episodes, this show, so good, I think.
Yeah, they have one episode this season. Justina, who's our lead, was a soldier in Afghanistan, and she's come back, and she has PTS, which used to be called PTSD, but they got rid of the D. But she's suffering from trauma from her time abroad and depression. And you would think, how is the sitcom going to show this? And they show it in a way that I've never seen a drama handle, in that our lead character basically is in bed almost the entire show in tears. And you would think, like, well, this isn't dramatic, but it's enormously dramatic, and it shows you the horror of what it is, of what real depression is and what our veterans have to go through. But then at the same time, you see her family and her loved ones rallying to help her and bring her out of it, which is very heroic, and it's a wonderful episode. It's remarkable what they do on that show and what they get away with.
We're talking with Stephen Tobolowsky. The new season two of One Day at a Time, available now on Netflix. And you mentioned Justina Mikado, Rita Moreno, the Alex and Emma, the actors who play the kids, are so good. They're so real. And your guest appearances, the actors who are in there, everybody is just so solid and strong in this. And it's really a great ensemble piece.
Oh, yeah. Todd Grinnell is Schneider. And I take a look at this show and I go, like, okay, maybe this is why I kept the three rocks. Maybe it was for this magic. Because this show, how many years did it take to create this show? You have Norman Lear at 95 years old is our executive producer. And he shows that he has not lost his touch. You have Mike Royce and Gloria Calderon Kellett as our showrunners, who have mastered the form of telling a story that's both hilarious and heartbreaking at the same time. You have Justina Mikado. Now, when this is a story that Norman told me, Justina was the first person who came in to read for this part. And if there are any people out there in Bangor and across the country, if you're an actor, you know, if you're the first person who goes in on an audition, you're not going to get it. Right? They have thousands of people lined up that are going to audition for this part, and they usually bring in somebody the first time in that they figure will get everything warmed up and everything rolling. Justina came in and did her thing from show one of season one, a monologue, and devastated the people in the room. And Norman goes, like, well, that's pretty good for starts. Let's let's see who else we have. And then they proceed to see another 200-300 women to play the leading role. and Mike and Gloria and Norma goes, let's get Justina back in here. And she was the first one in, and she got it. And it's this woman can do anything. She is the perfect engine for a show. She's hilarious. She's every moment is real and from the heart. And then you combine that with Rita Moreno. Give me a break. And I mean, you're dealing not only with an international icon, but somebody who can make you laugh and cry in a second. And she could still dance better than I can any day.
Well, and your character, Dr. Berkowitz, is such a fully developed character, and sometimes in traditional sitcoms, that might have been just comic relief, and it's so much more than that. This wonderful relationship you have with Rita's character, and it's so deep and it's so real.
It's odd because, again, it's one of the things you don't expect to see on a sitcom, is that I play a doctor. I'm the employer of Justina here in America now that she's back. She's my nurse at the office, and everything bad has happened to me. My wife has left me. My daughters hate me. No one remembers my birthday. Everything happens bad to me, but I always try to see, even though I'm the sad clown, you know, I'm always heartbroken, but I always try to see the optimistic side. And Rita Moreno sings Happy Birthday to me on my birthday, a la Marilyn Monroe with President Kennedy. And I fall madly in love, and it becomes this story of how people long for love at every stage of their life. It's not about young romantic love. It is about Rita, who the love of her life, her husband Berto, has passed away. And I'm at this stage in my life where I've fallen madly in love with her. And it is a love story about people later in life that isn't necessarily driven by romance or having children or anything, but at the same time, it is not sexless. It is a romance that is waiting to blossom, waiting to happen in a very real way. And you don't have stories like that on a sitcom. You don't.
Yeah, that relationship between Leslie and Lydia, I don't want to give away, you know, too much of it for season two, but I was really pulling for those that platonic companion outings to become a little bit more between those characters.
Right.
And it did lead in season two to one of my favorite scenes of the show so far with Rita and the other actress, Yvonne Cole. That scene in the bathroom between the two of them was just
hilarious.
Yeah.
And what was really remarkable when we filmed the show is that the scene, they just went ahead and did the scene in Spanish. They did the scene, you know, on TV, they do it in subtitles, but I don't want to be a spoiler to it, but when we do the show live now, in front of the studio audience, like sitcoms and Days of Yore, we have so many Spanish language people who come to see the show because there are moments of Spanish in it. The screams of laughter during that scene, as those two women were going at it in Spanish, and I didn't understand a word of it, but I was laughing so hard I was crying watching them. And again, I don't want to be a spoiler as to what happens, but it is truly hilarious. And it's just amazing, the chemistry. Like, take Todd Grinnell, who plays Schneider, and you would think he would be like Schneider from the old show. How can you possibly top Schneider from the original? But Todd is, I don't know. He is the, you could say Schneider is the perpetual child. Schneider is a perpetual moron. Schneider is all heart. You could say all these things, but Todd has a way of holding so many scenes together with his humor and also with his nonsensical advice quite often. it's a chemistry that I've never really seen on shows.
I think
it's odd.
I think you hit the exact thing that ties his character to the old Schneider. It's all heart. Whatever he does, it's with the best of intentions to help or be part of the family.
And that's the need. The need is that he grew up without a real family. He grew up with a father who fooled around. He had several mothers, several stepmothers. And so he sees this Cuban family that's moved in as an opportunity to be part of a real family. Just as I, as Dr. Leslie Berkowitz, someone who my family has deserted me, I see the love of this family as something that has a gravity that brings me to this family as well. And it just shows you, man, love conquers all. And it's the primary lesson of this show.
And while there are connections to the original version of the show with the theme song, with the apartment, it stands on its own so well. But I love the little homages here and there, including when Elena decides to be Schneider's assistant and shows up wearing the same thing that Pat Harrington wore 40 years ago.
Hysterical. And did you see the promo that Netflix shot of the show One Day at a Time, where we copied shot for shot the original One Day at a Time promo?
I have not seen that yet, no.
It is, just Google it. It's on there. It is absolutely hilarious. So Todd is dressed up like the original Schneider. Justina is dressed up like Bonnie Franklin with a Bonnie Franklin wig. The kids are dressed up, the boy and girl are dressed up as the two girls, Mackenzie Phillips and Valerie. And since I'm not in the original show, I play guy who runs into the picture in the background. And it is shot for shot matches the original One Day at a Time opening. It's amazing.
Well, we'll have to watch that. And I have seen a couple of critics already say this, and it would be hard to argue with it based on what I've seen of season one and a good chunk of season two. It's the best situation comedy on television right now.
It very well could be. It's amazing. The results are so good. Wait, I'm not going to do a spoiler, but I'll just say, like, show 13, the final show of season two. You're going to need a seatbelt.
And a box of tissues, I think, too, right?
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's remarkable.
Well, we're so happy for you to be a part of this wonderful ensemble. It's just a fantastic show. For anybody who hasn't seen it, get to Netflix and see season two. And if you haven't, get caught up on season one of One Day at a Time. I did want to ask you, too, while you're here, Stephen, since your visit to Bangor, you also did a couple of live readings, performances of your story, A Good Day at Auschwitz. How did that go, working with your friend Alan Mandel?
It was great. I never really do that story live because it's in the book of My Adventures with God, because it really involves my visiting and talking with this Auschwitz survivor. And I don't like to do the accent, you know, to play an old man and to play me, who is kind of an old man, but he was an older man and from Europe. And Alan Mandel is 90, and he was a brilliant, brilliant actor. And we did the show of the two stories, very touching. We had a full house, and it broke my heart. Norman Lear came. Norman came, and Todd came, and Justina came. And you know, I just put out this little flyer on the internet, and they came to support me during their time off. But it was beautiful, and it is such a great story and such a moving story. And I guess we're at this period in history where we go like, well, this is a story that we need to know now that fits this period of history. But I think I'm thinking now every story we hear is a story we need to hear now, because for some reason people, it may be my imagination, Rich, but I feel like people have cut themselves off from the past in a way. There's no through line of realizing where we've come from in a way. And I don't know if it's, I don't know why it is. I don't know if, am I crazy in thinking that? Do you feel the same way?
No. It appears as if so much of the progress that we thought we had made as a nation, as a culture, has somehow been left behind, and we're starting over again.
It feels that way. And so I wanted to tell the story of this Auschwitz survivor, because grief and sorrow needs a witness. And I just feel that humanity as a whole is just inches away from slipping into more tragic situations, like catastrophic situations, like we had in World War II, and people not treating others as equals, and destroying our basic freedoms. And it's so important to maintain what we've established as a country, and to remember all the battles that were fought to get us to this place where we are now. And it's been wonderful in a way since we did two of the story shows in Maine. We did Bangor and we did Portland. But since then, I think I've probably been to at least a dozen other cities, probably more, doing stories from the book. And I realized the element of the book, My Adventures with God, that resonates with different people is the same thing that One Day at a Time resonates with me. Even though this is my story of growing up in Texas and Oak Cliff and being in show business, a story that no one else really it's not really everyone's story. It becomes everyone's story because it's a true story. And it's part of, and the number of people that I've done stories for who said, like, that is how I grew up. That is my story. And I feel like it's a time in history to know where we are. We have to know where we came from. And I think it's very, we're at a dangerous point now where I'm feeling we're at a tipping point where people don't really know the battles that have been fought to bring us to the high, high place we've reached. That's just my take on it.
I think you're absolutely right. And Stephen, I have to tell you, not a week has gone by since you and Ann were here that I haven't had somebody come up to me and say, that was such an incredible night when Stephen was here reading. We loved it, and we're still talking about it here. It was so wonderful to have you here with us in town, and as always, a delight for us to have you back on the show talking about this terrific season 2 of One Day at a Time.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for letting me come on it. You know, Ann and I, we love Maine so much, and when we left Bangor, Annie and I were saying, on our next flight, she looked at me and she said, you know, we could live there. And then we've been watching the Weather Channel lately. And she said, you know, I'm not sure if we could live there.
It's a nice place to visit.
I am so happy to, it's funny that I've now been to Maine about 5 times and it's so stunningly gorgeous. And I happen to come always at just the right time.
Well, next time we need to get you here when the weather is a bit more comfortable and not quite California-like, but a lot warmer and beautiful in a different way.
In a different way, yes.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being with us. Great to talk with you. Please give our best to Ann as well.
You got it. Thank you so much, Chris.
Stephen Tobolowsky, One Day at a Time, right now, season 2, available on Netflix.